You could say filmmaker Alexandra Pelosi is not afraid of confrontation. For her new HBO documentary, The Insurrectionist Next Door, Alexandra Pelosi profiles some of the people who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. These are the people who joined the crowd that threatened her own mother, then Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. In the film, Alexandra follows them in their daily lives, meets their families too, and the result is a surprisingly candid exchange. Filmmaker Alexandra Pelosi joins us now. Welcome, Alexandra.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, among the crowd that busted into your mother's office January 6th, some mocked her, dropped the B word. One person said she should hang. Now, the people you follow in the documentary took a more distant part in all this, but still, they're in this crowd. Why in the world are you profiling them in this film?
Okay, first of all, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys have been convicted for going into that building with the intention of hanging Mike Pence. And as they said in court, they wish they had hung Nancy Pelosi from a lamppost.
Yeah.
Yes, there were some very bad actors there that day. However, in the court, when they were on trial, their telegram messages were revealed. And one of the leaders of the Proud Boys wrote to his brothers, "We're going to get the normies to burn this city to ash today." And when I heard that, who are the normies? So basically, you had this group of people who had intentions of taking over our democracy and having a coup that day, right? But they needed this chorus of normies, these regular guys from all across America to participate. So I was fascinated with, the United States government has made these distinctions between the militant organizations that were there to hang Nancy Pelosi and just the nice farm girl from Missouri who came into the building, took a selfie, and left. She got 30 days in jail.
Yeah.
The guy who took his Trump flag and walked into the Senate floor, he got 8 months in jail. These are the people in this film are the people that got misdemeanors for walking into the building, being a jackass, and walking out. This was the most filmed, photographed, documented crime scene in history. So we know exactly what all these people did. So this is the normies. This is just a conversation with the normies, yeah.
We do have a little bit of sound from somebody you call a normie, Johnny Harris, from North Carolina, who was, I believe, sentenced to 7 months in prison for his role at the Capitol. He shows you some videos, first of all, where he is sure the real criminals here are Antifa, these members of the far left. He explains his version of what's happening, at which point you tell him this. Let's listen.
Do you realize that the militant organizations that were there to overthrow the government needed a chorus of little people? They called them normies, people like you. They were just the fools. They were using you.
Nobody used me. I went there on my own free will. Nobody come up and said, "Hey, Normie, we're going to do this today." Nobody approached me trying to get me to do anything. I did stupid on my own, all right? You better not play this on TV, I swear. If you make me look like a fool, I'll be so pissed off at myself.
So Johnny Harris, like several people in the film, takes responsibility for his own actions, does not throw anybody else, say former President Trump, or others under the bus. What do you make of that? Do you believe them?
They're true believers. People that don't agree with them still can't get over the fact that there are people that committed a crime, went to jail 6, 7, 8 months, came out and still say, "I serve my president. I love this president."
Yep.
These are American citizens who will be participating in the next election. And that's why I thought we should try to get to know them. You know, I was in the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah.
I filmed the whole thing. I saw them with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
So this is territory that I'm all too familiar with. And I'm just trying to understand why they came in the first place.
You know, I have to say, my colleague, producer Adele, and I both commented on how so many of the people you profile, including the one we just heard, sound more, I don't know, goofy than dangerous. Oddly pleasant, oddly personable. Did you find that?
I think that's the banality of evil. I think that when you walk into someone's home and you meet their wife and their child, it's hard to hate up close. You walk in and you think, you have a Proud Boy tattoo on your whole forehead. And then you think, what is wrong with you? But then you meet their family and you spend time with them. And I think that's one of the real takeaways of every person I met, is that I'm sure they had a great hate in their soul for me too, the minute I walked in the door.
And do you have any more answers after spending so much time with these insurrectionists?
Remember, these are American citizens who took misdemeanors and will be voting in the next election. We need to talk to them. We need to listen to them. We need to have a conversation, because we talked about how divided the country is, and we want to try to heal, right? We're trying in some way to make peace with it. We all have a normie in our family. They may not have stormed the Capitol that day, but they definitely sympathize with the people who did. You'd be amazed at how many people say January 6th was just staged and it was all the deep state. And we have to agree to a set of facts. We have to be able to say, look, this wasn't staged. This wasn't some setup to make Trump look bad. Or we have to be able to get to a place where we can at least agree to a set of facts.
Well, but time out. You asked many of them, do you think the election was stolen? There's no evidence for the election being stolen. They all, I believe, still think that.
They still think that. So I know I didn't tell you that I was making any progress here. I was still just curious. I mean, I just ask questions. That's my job, is to go ask them.
Yeah.
After going to jail for 6-8 months, I would think that I would reconsider some of these. But, you know, that's who they are. God bless them. They really are true believers.
Yeah, well, and I recall there was at least one person who kind of, at the end, who's like, I've reconsidered, but everybody else is still the true believers, which is a fascinating ending. But I want to ask, and we have a little bit of sound, of Billy Knudsen of South Dakota. He's the guy, you've described him. He has Proud Boy tattooed on his forehead, and he also is a rapper. He wrote a rap song with Trump's words from that debate to his followers. Proud Boys, Stand Back and Stand By. Here's some of that.
To stand back and stand by, make sure you're ready to fight. It's civil war. Locked and loaded, ready for a civil war. Don't try to tread on me or threaten me, because I will brawl. United we stand, divided we fall. But
okay, so that's the part we're allowed to play on the radio, because the language is really something.
I was wondering how you were going to get away with playing any of that.
Yeah, artfully chosen. But Billy Knudsen has this cute-as-a-button baby boy, two other young children, and I wonder, do you think about this kind of sympathetic portrayal of these characters and what the implications might be?
Well, the reason I included him in the film was because I thought it was an interesting conversation about what is free speech and what is hate speech. His songs are pretty tasteless, in my opinion, but he has a free speech right to sing them. Should he be going to jail for that? He went to jail for 8 months, and he walked into the Capitol. He was inside for a couple minutes and he left. He didn't break anything. He didn't steal anything. He didn't hit any officers. In the court, they used his lyrics against him. They read all the lyrics. They said, this is very offensive. One of the lines was, Nancy didn't like us in her office. And so that's interesting, because, I mean, there are a lot of people that walked into the building and got house arrest or probation for doing exactly what he did. So it's more about what the standards are.
You have said, and I use this line all the time, I just ask questions. But after spending all this time with these insurrectionists, what have you learned about at least some of them, how motivated or not they were about their lives, about their worldview?
To me, I thought it was a mosaic of broken America. Every person, one was more broken than the next. They grew up on Hot Pockets and Pop-Tarts, and they barely got educated. And it's really an extreme look at how broken America is. If you study each person's life, the first question would be, where did your life go wrong? Like, every person I talk to, the one thing they have in common is their life just didn't work out for them. And Trump filled that void. He gave them some purpose. He gave them some meaning. He filled their life with kind of some excitement. And that's what January 6th was for them. It gave them a purpose. And that's very scary if you think about it.
Did you try to talk to any of the leaders of the January 6th protest? I mean, was that part of your plan at all? Did they turn you down?
I talked to a lot of people that never made the cut of the film. I decided that I had to have some standards. I picked the people that are in the film for specific reasons. I'm only talking to people that are taking plea bargains that will admit to what the government says they did. Anyone that was going on trial and denying what they did, I had no interest in talking to. I wasn't really interested in hearing propaganda from the leader of the Oath Keepers who said we should have hung Nancy Pelosi from a lamppost.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did your mom watch it?
No. Kidding?
No?
No way. I don't even know if she's going to watch it. No, because she's from the school of thought that every person, she and Lindsey Graham agree, that every person that walked into that building that day is a domestic terrorist. They don't want to hear any more than that. Except maybe the Republicans who were in the bunker that day. Like, I was in the bunker with Nancy Pelosi on January 6th with Steve Scalise, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, and they were appalled when they saw what was happening on TV from the bunker. But I guess when they got back into their civilian lives, somebody got to them and convinced them that, no, those people were all just a bunch of tourists and it was a fine day. So that's what's so dangerous about this day. The Republicans have been trying to rewrite it as these were just a bunch of tourists that had every right to be walking through the building. And that's not right.
Alexandra Pelosi directs the HBO documentary The Insurrectionist Next Door, currently streaming on Max. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.